In today's Daily Grace, I want to speak with you about Christian maturity. What does it mean to be a mature Christian? Now, maturity is difficult in our culture because, quite frankly, Americans are largely an emotionally immature people. And quite frankly, again, there is a lot of spiritual immaturity within the church as well. So how do we become mature? How do we become spiritually and emotionally mature people? Well, one of the best ways to do that is to find someone or find those who are mature, who have advanced, who are functioning, and imitate them. One person who invited us to do that is Paul the Apostle. You might recall, he said, "Imitate me as I follow Christ." And so he's called us to follow what he does, what he says, his lifestyle, and to follow his state of maturity as he follows Christ. So I want to read to you today from Philippians chapter 1, verse 12 through 26, because in this section of Scripture, we really do have a wonderful snapshot of Paul's maturity on display. So Philippians chapter 1, verses 12 through 26. Let me read that, beginning, of course, with verse 12. "But I want you to know, brethren, that the things which happened to me have actually turned out for the furtherance of the gospel, so that it has become evident to the whole palace guard and to all the rest that my chains are in Christ. And most of the brethren in the Lord, having become confident by my chains, are much more bold to speak the word without fear. Some, indeed, preach Christ even from envy and strife, and some also from goodwill. The former preach Christ from selfish ambition, not sincerely, supposing to add affliction to my chains. But the latter out of love, knowing that I am appointed for the defense of the gospel. What then? Only that in every way, whether in pretense or in truth, Christ is preached. And in this I rejoice. Yes, and I will rejoice. For I know that this will turn out for my deliverance through your prayer and the supply of the Spirit of Jesus Christ, according to my earnest expectation and hope that in nothing I shall be ashamed, but with all boldness, as always, so now also, Christ will be magnified in my body, whether by life or by death. For to me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. But if I live on in the flesh, this will mean fruit from my labor. Yet what I shall choose I cannot tell. For I am hard pressed between the two, having a desire to depart and be with Christ, which is far better. Nevertheless, to remain in the flesh is more needful for you. And being confident of this, I know that I shall remain and continue with you all for your progress and joy of faith, that your rejoicing for me may be more abundant in Jesus Christ by my coming to you again." End quote. So the Apostle Paul is languishing in a Roman prison when he writes this letter. A damp, unsanitary, cold Roman prison. But he's not a victim. He's not claiming victimization. In fact, he's saying that this is happening and it's actually serving to advance the gospel. And he's excited about that. He's delighted about that. He even acknowledges that there are those who are preaching the gospel more abundantly, more aggressively, as a result of the fact that he's now in prison. He says that there are some who are preaching out of ill will, out of selfish ambition. But even then, Paul doesn't claim victimization. He doesn't express anger or resentment. He says he's glad that Christ is being preached. He doesn't consider these men of selfish ambition his enemies. As long as they're preaching Christ, he knows the Holy Spirit will use it. And then there are those who are preaching Christ out of love and support of Paul, those who are emboldened by his suffering to be motivated, to be more aggressive themselves in the preaching of the gospel. And this is causing Paul to rejoice. Paul is not begging for help. He's not saying, oh, here I am in this horrible, damp, unsanitary prison, suffering for Christ. He's not claiming to be a martyr. He's concerned that the gospel is still being preached. In fact, he's developed a confidence, he says, that this all will turn out for his deliverance through their prayers and the supply of the Spirit of Jesus Christ. His chief concern is that Christ will be magnified in his body, whether he lives or whether he dies. For me to live is Christ, he says, and to die is gain. Isn't that incredible? He had come to terms with death in Christ to the point where he saw it as gain. In fact, he's torn between two things, to stay on or to go be with Christ, to die and be with Christ, which he says is far better. And yet, his concern remains for the Christians to whom he's ministering. Consequently, he's convinced that even though he would rather go be with Christ, he'll stick around for a while. He'll be around so he can care for those people. What a beautiful picture of Christian maturity. To live is Christ, and to die is gain. And if I'm to live, it is to magnify Christ and to edify Christ's people. Paul is not displaying any level, modicum of selfishness here. He's not displaying any point of resentment or complaint. He knows he is in chains because of Christ. And so he is using this as an opportunity to do what he's always done, and that is to magnify Christ, whether in his life or his death. So the essence of Christian maturity is to adopt a stance in life, about your life, where everything you do, it has two purposes. That is to magnify Christ and to edify his people. Period. We have to get ourselves out of the way to do that, don't we? Immaturity focuses too much on ourselves. Now, it's important that we exercise self-care. It's important that we exercise moderation. It's important that we exercise boundaries. It's important that we stay clear about our thoughts and feelings. It's important that we take care of ourselves spiritually through private devotions and times of prayer and study. But overall, Christian maturity comes as we focus on magnifying Christ, whether we live or whether we die, and edifying Christ's people. I find that very freeing myself. I find that very releasing, that my life doesn't have to be about Rick. I spent too much time there in the past. Now I'm free. I'm free from the self. I've been relieved of what they say in Alcoholics Anonymous is the bondage to self. The bondage to self. Relieve me of the bondage to self. And we've been free in Christ. We've been freed in Christ from that bondage to self so that we can do these two things. We can seek to magnify Christ in all that we think, say, and do, even if we die. And we can, if we stay on, as long as we're here, we'll be here to edify Christ's people. What a beautiful picture. What a beautiful opportunity for you and I today to embrace this picture, to adopt Paul's paradigm of saying, for me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. And for the hours that I have, the days that I have, the weeks, months, or years that the Lord in His mercy allows me to remain, it'll be here, I'll be here for you, for your edification, to build you up, to encourage you, to see that you grow in Christ, to see that your well-being is cared for. I want to be like that. I want to be more like that. I want to grow, and I invite you to join me. May the Lord be with us both as we do. Amen.